Good morning, and welcome to our worship on this third Sunday of Easter. Well, the COVID virus has certainly disrupted our planning for a while. However, the Christian Ed Board has been talking about doing Vacation Bible School on the week of July 20th through the 24th. Of course, this is all pending the epidemic that's going on. And so we ask you to just mark your calendars tentatively, and we will make a decision probably by the end of June. Another COVID casualty is our church directory. Life Touch, who is taking our pictures, has had to reschedule all their appointments. And the earliest date that we could get was in November. So we have tentatively set a time. Again, we will have to revisit those dates at the end of summer and see where we're at. So keep that in mind. A quick update on Daniel Cush. Daniel had what Pastor Matt called a replumbing of his heart on Wednesday. He came through the surgery very well, and on Friday was back in surgery to close up the sternum or breastbone. Everything is going as well as it could go. Pastor Matt and Haley have expressed their appreciation for your prayerful support and, of course, to God for his great favor. We are also very thankful to hear from Pastor Brian Downs from Zion Lutheran Church in Belleville, who had a very serious heart attack, is recovering well. It will take a while for him to fully recover. So we ask that you continue to pray for him as well. I am confident that the Lord will look mercifully upon us and bring to an end this situation that we find ourselves in. And that's not a prediction, but rather it's a review of God's dealing with mankind throughout history. You see, God's triumph always follows our tribulation. So it's with that confidence that we continue to pray for those in need, those on our prayer list, and those who are affected by the virus. So let us now turn our eyes to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, as we use this God-given technology to worship him and thank him for his steadfast mercy and love. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our opening sentences are selected scripture verses. Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Christ has risen from the dead. Alleluia. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us now take a moment of silence to ask God to search our hearts and reveal to us our need for Christ and for his forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Lord, we confess that with us there is an abundance of sin, but in you there is the fullness of righteousness and abundance of mercy. We are spiritually poor, but you are rich, and in Jesus Christ came to be merciful to the poor. Strengthen our faith and trust in you. We are empty vessels that need to be filled. Fill us. We are weak in faith. Strengthen us. We are cold in love. Warm us. And make our hearts fervent for you, that our love may go out to one another and to our neighbors. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One day some friends brought a paralyzed man before Jesus, and in the process of healing him, he declared, "Your sins are forgiven." We too are often paralyzed by our sin, and we need to be set free from all that encumbers us. Having confessed your sin before God, it is my high honor to proclaim the word of the Lord to you. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We take a moment now to share the peace with one another.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angels upon the tombstone said he is risen, just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Risen, just as he said, quickly now, go tell his disciples, Jesus Christ is no longer dead,
no longer dead,
no longer dead.
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up a fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We prepare our hearts now for the reading of God's Word. The first lesson for this Sunday, third Sunday of Easter, is from Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you have crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm this morning is from Psalm 116, in which we will read responsively. I loved the Lord, because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The epistle for this morning is from the first letter of Peter, the first chapter. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into the glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's good to be back after a couple of, about a week of with my son Daniel. He was just born on Tuesday, April 14th. And I'm not going to lie to you all, I'm in a bit of a haze. I want to just describe my life in very brief for the past week or so. My wife delivered Daniel in about 2.5 hours of labor, which was a blessing. He came out so fast, and we were so happy to see him. Immediately after he was born, I took him and I baptized him with a little shell that the people at St. Mary's Hospital in St. Louis gave me, about maybe a minute after he was born. From there, he was whisked away by the wonderful doctors at Cardinal Glennon, hooked up with medicine to keep his little heart going. He was diagnosed with hypoplastic left heart syndrome. I got to see him for maybe 3 minutes, my wife for less. We were discharged from the hospital in about 12 hours from there, and from there on it becomes a bit of a blur. We couldn't see him long. Myself, I was only able to see him for 72 hours after his birth, and then I was not allowed into the hospital due to COVID-19. Then, just on Tuesday of this past week, he had major heart surgery, his first of three. I was there with my wife, Haley, and for 48 hours I got to see him. And it was hard. Tubes covered up his entire body. I couldn't feel much of anything. I was in a haze. After that, my time was up. And all I can see him now through is a little computer screen. Right now, I'm walking in a haze, going forward without really knowing what comes next. Never have I had so much empathy with those two disciples on the Emmaus Road. These two followers of Christ had been with Jesus seemingly from the beginning of his ministry. For 3 years, they followed him as he walked around Jerusalem and all the surrounding regions. They were with him when he healed the sick. They were with Jesus when he provided a miraculous catch of fish. They were with him when he preached. They were with him when he fed those 5,000 men, not including women and children. These disciples loved Jesus. They were there that week, not too long ago, when the entire city of Jerusalem came out and shouted, "Hosanna, blessed be who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David." They saw their Jesus coming in like a king. In that same week, they saw him scourge the temple from robbers. In that same week, they saw him preach the destruction of Jerusalem. That same two disciples that week saw his arrest, his trial, and his death. 1 minute, they're on cloud nine. And the next, they're walking in that haze down a long road to Emmaus from Jerusalem, trying to piece together a new normal. They're trying to figure out what has happened. This can't be. The man on their thoughts comes up and he starts walking right alongside them. But they're so deep in their grief, in their anxiety, in their worry, they don't even recognize him. In fact, the Bible even goes out of its way to say their eyes cannot recognize them, as if something was veiling and making them blind. But nevertheless, despite them walking in that haze down this long Emmaus road, Jesus comes, walks beside them, and he asks a very simple question to them. "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And at this, they look very sad. They cannot begin to explain everything, what has happened. One of the men, Clopas, answered Jesus, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" He said to them, "What things?" And they said, "The things that have to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." "Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things had happened. Moreover, some of the women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but that him they did not see." We get a very close look at the inner turmoil of these disciples. They don't recognize Jesus walking beside them, and they don't even recognize him as the Christ, the Son of God. They thought him to be the King of Israel, yes, but they didn't know why all these things happened. They were even more confused. They were actually saying to themselves that they did not see his body. He indeed, Jesus, is risen from the grave. The woman testified to this empty tomb and the proclamation of the angels. This is actually after Peter and John ran to the tomb and they saw it empty and proclaimed this to all of the other disciples. But yet these two, Clopas and another, walking down in a haze on this road, they don't understand. They're hurting. They're in pain. They don't know what's going on. I can understand that. That moment when all you can focus on is the turmoil around you, the worry that blinds you to everything else. Just look around in her world. When people don't understand what's going on, they get angry and they get frustrated. We're seeing protests. When people get angry, frustrated, and worried and walk in a haze, they lash out, just as these men did to Jesus. Right now, we're all walking in the haze, not knowing what's going to come next. But Jesus cuts through this entire conversation. He cuts through like a hot knife through butter, and he declares to them these things had to take place so the promise of God would be fulfilled. He goes on to explain to these two disciples traveling down the Emmaus Road why it just was that the Christ had to suffer all of these things. He started from the very beginning of his story, from the deliverance of Israel from Egypt by the hand of Moses and the power of God. How God was with his people throughout their entire journey in the wilderness. How he brought them to a promised land. And many more things. Jesus opened to them the Word of God, the prophets, the Psalms, and everything. He laid them bare as they were traveling down. Jesus was walking right beside these two disciples, preaching to them, giving them words of comfort and hope that he indeed did this all according to God's gracious love for them. And they still didn't understand, because even as they came to the end of their journey, they came to a house. It was toward evening, and it was growing very late. They didn't have anything to eat, actually. So they invited Jesus to the home. Their hearts burned within them. They wanted to hear more. They didn't want this person to leave them. He was something they could cling to. He was something that they could have hope in, even if it was just for one moment. So Jesus came in to their home. He sat down and he took bread. He blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Immediately, their eyes were opened, and they knew this was Jesus. At that moment, Jesus left them. And they were astonished, and they marveled at these things. For they even said to one another, "Didn't our hearts truly burn within us as he spoke to us on the road? And did not our eyes see and rejoice when he broke the bread?" And they went and they told all that they could see, their eyes no longer clouded in haze, their anxious hearts calmed and now filled with joy, because Jesus had been with them, had revealed himself alive to them. And he did it in the most amazing way, in the same way he did on that Holy Thursday with his disciples. He took bread and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you for the forgiveness of sins." In the same way also, he took the cup. He blessed it and gave it to them. "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins." And in this, they recognized him. They saw Jesus with them. We have the same comfort, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when finally we can come once again together and be gathered around the table of our Lord, we will see Christ again in body and blood and bread and wine. He has revealed himself to us. And what does this mean? That he forgives us. That he loves us. We see how Jesus reveals himself to us in this gospel lesson. Instead of being up high, away from all of our problems, he's instead walking right beside us, listening to us. And he's listening to the things that he already knows. For God knows all. He is omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful and almighty. He knows the very depths of our hearts, the very inner groanings of our spirit, and yet he listens. Just as Jesus listened to the Clopas' declaration of anxiety and fear and worry and questioning, so too does our God today do exactly the same thing for us, listening to us and then answering us back with words of comfort, words of hope, words of promise, and finally showing that love and promise to us through his body and blood, his Holy Communion that he gives to each and every one of us to sustain us, to nourish us, and to make us grow. And because of this, my heart burns within me to trust him, to go into God's word and see the wonderful promises that God has made for me, the wonderful plans to prosper me, to sustain me in all trials, to never let me fall to the wicked snares of the devil. Where my eyes are clouded, walking in a haze, Christ has come, walked beside me in my grief and anxiety, and has given me life and understanding. It isn't easy. I know it's hard. But rest assured that Christ walks this road with us and promises to be with us to the very end of the age. May God give you peace. Amen. Let us now confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. we confess. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue our worship with our gifts and offerings.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. We pray for the whole church, that the message of salvation joyfully be told throughout all the world and the Easter victory of Jesus Christ be celebrated around the globe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, that the governments of all nations be a source of blessing to those who are governed, and that oppression in all forms be hindered. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves in this season of our Lord's great victory, that we truly be Easter people all year long, radiating the love of Christ in our homes, workplaces, and communities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who serve us through their callings, especially those who deal with special challenges or dangers on a regular basis, including our police, fire, and emergency personnel. We remember at this time the military forces of our nation, those stationed both at home and abroad, whose efforts serve to defend our nation in challenging times such as we are experiencing today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those with special concerns and needs this day. O Lord God, you show yourself to those who are vulnerable, and make your home with the poor and the weak of this world. Warm our hearts with the fire of your Spirit. Help us to accept the challenges presented by the coronavirus as we respect the authorities over us and continue to pray for their safety while they serve and protect us. We pray for Janice Paulsmeyer's father, Dean, who has contracted the virus and needs your healing grace. Lord God, protect the healthy, calm the frightened, give courage to those in pain, comfort the dying, and grant eternal life and the victory celebration to those who have passed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Today we give you thanks for your healing presence as you saw Daniel Cush through his heart surgeries on Wednesday and Friday. And now we ask you to be his strong arm as he recovers in the days ahead. We thank you also for sustaining Randy Morton, Bob's brother, who has survived and is recovering from a very serious cancer surgery. We thank you for literally giving back life to Brian Downs and granting him successful heart surgery. Grant him rest and recovery while his heart mends. We ask, Lord, for your protective graces also upon Sarah Griffin during her pregnancies, for her husband Thomas and their family as they prepare to move to New Orleans this summer. Open the doors of your grace upon them during this extraordinary time of life, that they may know and proclaim your goodness. God and Father of all, give your holy comfort to Ed and Kathy Markle as they grieve the passing of Kathy's sister-in-law, Rose Phones. We thank you, O God, for your goodness, for her faith and trust in the atoning sacrifice of your beloved Son, and for the salvation he made known to her. We ask you, Father, to prepare us all with a strong faith as we wait for the day when you call us into your eternal presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Spirit, giver of life, bless with peace and happiness those we remember today with birthdays. Grant your divine peace and happiness to follow Diana Brandmeier, Carrie Boulanger, Chris Michael, Autumn Kesting, and Oliver Sanchez for the rest of their individual lives. Grant them all the joy and happiness that their hearts can contain, for you give gifts without measure, especially the gift of our Savior Jesus, in whom we put our trust. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we thank you for Dennis and Donna Brockmeyer and for all of the years they have had together. Today, as we celebrate their anniversary, our prayer is that you will continue to bless them and their family as they continue to serve you, the one true God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we bless you for having placed into our lives faithful Christian people to guide us. On this day, we remember those no longer among us on earth who have completed their earthly races and have won the final victory in Christ. Lead us to follow in their way, that we rejoice together eternally at your table and in your mansions. Gracious God, hear our every prayer, those spoken and those that are hidden in the secret parts of our hearts. For we pray them in the name of Jesus, who invites us to pray as he has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord smile upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. We close with the hymn number 477, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven.